Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. Lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Today's message is entitled, Yielding My Life to the Service of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Here's Paul Chapel.
But Paul says in verse 7 that just in case he was to get puffed up about receiving all of that revelation and having part in these scriptures, God gave him an affliction or a thorn in the flesh. In other words, there was a reason for the trial. And Paul referred to this as a thorn in the flesh. You will notice that we are afflicted sometimes also with trials. Sometimes we are afflicted with trials. Yours may not be running eyes. Yours may not be blindness. Yours may be something else. But God has a purpose in your trial. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 that the trial of your faith, and that's what it is in many cases, to see if you're going to quit on God or if you're going to keep going on for God, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Sometimes God brings a trial into our lives to prove us and to test us and to see if we're real. And if we're the kind of Christian who, after the first few months of a trial, says, forget it, and we quit, then we are showing that our faith was not real. But God brings the trial of our faith to refine us and to prove Jesus Christ in us. Now, sometimes it's difficult to go through trials, and sometimes we don't like being humbled. I heard about a mom the other day who got a brand new sweater for a gift, and she liked that sweater. She thought she looked nice in that sweater. And her son came in the room. He was 6 years old. He looked at her. He said, Mom, you look just like the Wheel of Fortune. She said, honey, I think you mean I look just like Vanna White. He said, no, Mom, you look just like the wheel. And sometimes, you know, there can be those moments where we're deflated like that. And trials come. Someone says something against us. Some physical trial comes into our life. But listen, everybody has trials in their lives. Secondly, we are afflicted with temptations. If it's not a trial, then the devil will come with temptations. and he'll try to get someone who's on the road to recovery, someone who's going to church, someone who's really trying to live for the Lord, and he'll try to get them back to the bottle, back to the illicit relationships, back to the internet pornography, whatever it is that he can use just to pull them away from God. Look at what the Bible says in James 1:13. I believe it's in your notes. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You see, someone's on the road to recovery. Boy, their marriage is getting back together. Things are looking great. And all of a sudden, the Bible says there's a pattern that develops. Watch it. A man is tempted by his own lust. He's enticed. When that lust conceives, it brings forth sin. When that sin is finished, it brings forth death. And a relationship that was almost mended now is just about dead because of the temptation of sin. And so we need to be aware of the fact that when we're trying to live for the Lord, the devil's going to try to tempt us and pull us back every time. Many times as we learn to recover together with God, Satan will try to get us back to that life of anger, back to that life of hatred, back to that life of sin. In fact, if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, just a few pages back. Because right now, as we conclude this series on recovery, and many people have said to me, boy, God's giving me victory over alcohol. God's giving me victory in my marriage. My attitude towards my wife is right. And many have commented. So let me share with you 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. These two verses, 12 and 13, you ought to underline and mark in your Bible and come back to them from time to time. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he what? In other words, God says, be careful. You're doing well, but don't get filled with pride. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now watch this. God says, when the trials come, I'll give you grace to endure it. God says, when the temptation comes, I'll show you a back door out if you're looking. I'll convict you. My spirit will say to you, don't watch that. Don't say that. Don't go with those people. I will give you a way of escape when the temptations come. And so we see the presence of affliction. Trials and temptations are common to every Christian here this morning. Notice secondly this morning, the prayer of the afflicted. Now, in verse number 8, go back to 2 Corinthians 12:8. Paul says, I had this trial, this thorn in my flesh. But notice the prayer of the afflicted, verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now, two quick things about this prayer. First of all, it was an urgent prayer. Three times he said, Lord, take away this thorn in my flesh. Lord, please heal my eyes. Lord, help me. Take this trial away from me. The Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so this was an urgent prayer. Some of you have prayed like that. Lord, heal me. Lord, help me. And Paul prayed that way three times. But notice, secondly, it was an answered prayer. It was an answered prayer. Now someone says, wait a minute. God did not heal Paul. Listen, God answers our prayer in different ways. And unlike what some of the televangelists say, it is not always God's will to heal everyone. Because the truth is that Jesus alone is the healer, and the truth is that God heals according to His sovereign will, and we cannot tell God what to do. We can ask Him to do that which is according to His will. Now notice, sometimes we think God doesn't answer our prayer, but He does. Verse 9, He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You see, sometimes God will heal someone, and sometimes God will give us grace for the trial. I think, for example, we ask God to take away certain sickness. We ask God to take away certain problems. And if He does not, then He says, as He did to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hebrews chapter 4, He said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God says, if I don't take away your problem, I'm going to give you a superabundance of energy within your life so that you'll endure through that problem, so that you'll have even joy and strength through the problem. My grace, my inner strength is sufficient for you. Now, God answers prayers differently. Sometimes we'll ask Him for something and He'll say yes. Sometimes we'll ask Him for something and He'll say no. Sometimes we'll ask Him for something and He'll say, are you kidding? Because as James says, we ask amiss. We don't even know what we're asking for, you see. And so God always answers prayer, my friend. And we see this prayer of the afflicted. And Paul said, God, help me. I've got a trial here. And God says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, notice the heart of the message as we come to this third point, the purpose of affliction. The purpose of affliction. Why did God allow this thorn in the flesh? And I have found that people normally respond, watch this, three different ways to a trial. Some people, when the trial comes, they just try to endure it. And in trying to endure it, they get bitter. Some people, when the trial comes, they simply try to escape it through escapist types of fantasy living or sin of different kinds. They're trying to escape the trial by staying drunk, maybe. But you know, that always brings forth a problem too. So some people try to endure it and become bitter. Some people try to escape it and get deeper into sin. But listen, some people try to enlist the problem to be their teacher. E-N-L-I-S-T. Lord, what do you want me to learn through this? I don't want to get bitter through it. I don't want to get into sin through it. Lord, I want to become not bitter. I want to become better through this trial. What do you want me to learn through this? Now, I want to give you four purposes that God will show you through affliction. Four purposes that He wants to bring into fulfillment in your life. First of all, the first purpose that affliction brings is that we might admit our need for God. That we might admit our need for God. Go back to verse 7 for a moment. It says, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul is simply saying, this came into my life because I needed it. I needed this trial in my life. You remember the very first step to recovery? To recognize our need for God, you see. And one of the reasons God will allow us to come down low and find ourselves in prison, find ourselves with hatred, find ourselves with all kinds of problems is so that finally at the bottom of that pile we'll say, God, I need you. I couldn't handle it on my own. And God, I need your help at this time. You see, pride will keep someone from ever receiving Christ as Savior. Pride will keep someone from ever making things right in their marriage. But when things begin to crumble, men and women will turn to God. And sometimes God uses the trials to bring us to that point. Now, some people will never accept the need for change. Some people will never admit that they need change. By the way, how many of you this morning would say, God's not finished with me yet, and I'll admit that? Amen. That's why we're here this morning, right? We've all got a ways to go. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he had recently been to the doctor, and the doctor said to him, you really need to give up red meat. The doctor's very concerned about his heart. He said to me, Pastor Chappell, the doctor told me I've got to give up red meat, so I'm going to stop putting ketchup on my hamburgers. I don't think he quite got it, you know. He hasn't come to grips with the fact that he needs some change in his life, that there's some things that need to happen in his life that way, you see. But God says, I bring you low so that you'll realize the only way up is with my help. Secondly, God says the second purpose is that we might experience His grace. Verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, folks, if you've ever been down, if you've ever had a trial, and you have felt that God began to help you to forgive, God began to help you to understand, God began to give a peace, then you've experienced God's grace. It's a wonderful thing. It's a lot better than drugs. It's a lot better than alcohol. It's a lot better than being ticked off at every preacher in town. It's a lot better than hating men. It's a lot better than hating women. You see, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. If you'll let my grace come into your heart and life, I'll give you the strength that you need. One songwriter said, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that he could solve them. And I'm glad this morning that through the problems and trials of my life, God has been real to solve those problems. His enabling grace. Notice the third purpose, that we might experience God's power. Now, God's grace and God's power go hand in hand. And God says, I don't want to just comfort your heart, but I want to strengthen your hand for the work ahead. James 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God says, I'm going to bring the trial into your life so that you will be made perfect. That word perfect means complete. God says, you're not going to be complete until you learn everything I want you to learn through this trial in your life. In fact, put your finger there in 2 Corinthians 10 and turn back to Psalm 119 for just a moment. Psalm 119. If you're in the home builders class, that's in the Old Testament. Amen, Brother Furso? Psalm 119, verse 71. God says, I'm allowing this trial that you might know my power. I'm allowing this trial that you might grow and that you might learn. Now notice what it says, Psalm 119, verse 71. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. All right, let's read it one more time, a little louder. Ready? Begin. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. One more time, all together. The psalmist said, that problem that I had, it's good that I had that problem, because without that problem, I would have never learned some great Bible verses. Without that problem, I would have never learned how to pray. Without that problem, I would have never come to church and been saved. Without that problem, I would have never learned what it meant to have God's grace in my life. And you'll know that you are recovering over the trials and the hurts of this life when you're able someday to say, I'm glad I hit rock bottom, because if I never had hit rock bottom, I would have never come to Christ. I would have never learned these great verses. I would have never learned what it meant to really grow as a Christian. And so the psalmist said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see, sometimes Christians don't change when they see the light. They change when they feel the heat. And God allows just enough heat to come in so that we'll say, Lord, I need you. Help me, we might experience God's power. Then finally, letter D, that we might yield to God's service. This is when recovery comes full circle. Watch this. This is when we say, I don't want to waste this experience. I've been through the gutter of sin, and I hate it, and I'm sorry I went through it, but I don't want to waste it, God. And if there's some way that I can help someone else, I want to help someone else. I want to yield myself to your service. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, just back a few chapters, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I know some of you are just learning how to find these verses, but don't be embarrassed. Look in the table of contents, find it. And if you're in 2 Corinthians, just go back a few pages, because this is a great verse. By the way, they're all great. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now look at what it says in verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. By the way, God never said if you get saved, you'll never have a problem. He never said that. But he does say, I'll comfort you when those problems come. So, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to what? Comfort them which are in any trouble. Listen, God says everybody needs help. Everybody needs recovery. And as I've given you comfort through your trial, and as you fully recover through your hurt, and you're no longer hating, and you've forgiven your spouse who was wrong towards you, and you've learned what God's grace is all about, go out there and help somebody else with it. You know what comfort is. Go give it to someone else. Listen, who better to help someone with cancer and a family suffering with cancer than someone whose family has been touched with it? Who better to pray with someone whose family's breaking apart than someone who's experienced that pain? Who better to pray with a mom and dad whose teenager just ran away than another mom and dad whose teenager ran away? God says, you know how I comforted you. You know how you got through it. You know the verses that you learned. Now use those to help someone else. And go to Pastor Furso and say, you don't know this, Pastor Furso, but years ago I had a trial, and I'm not going to glamorize the sin of it, but it was difficult, and God let me learn these many verses and come through some things, and if I could ever help another lady with that, if I can ever help another man with that, you be sure to call on me. I'll be glad to pray with them. I'll be glad to help them, because I want to yield myself to the service of God in this matter. Now, how does that become useful in practical terms? How do we get involved? Three quick thoughts. Number one, think about what you've already learned from life's experiences. What has God shown you about the wages of sin? What have you learned through some of the trials of your own life? Secondly, make yourself available to help other people. Galatians 6:2 says it this way, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then thirdly, keep on growing in your walk with Christ. Don't ever slip back to bitterness, to bad habits, to wrong thoughts. Just keep growing in your walk with Christ. This past week, I read a story in the Bible about a man named Joseph. Watch this. When Joseph was growing up, his brothers hated him. He had a coat of many colors. His brothers made fun of it. One day they said, "We're going to get rid of this Joseph." And they threw him into a pit and they sold him into slavery. Man, here he goes into Egypt's land. And after a while, his master's wife accused him of attempted rape. So now he suffered the hatred of his family, the false accusation of his captors. And yet through all of that, Joseph never got bitter. Joseph just found God's grace through it all. He just kept the right heart through it all. He never became short-tempered. He never became angry. He just kept growing in God's grace through it all. One day the time came when he was able to actually help his brothers and his father and supply them with food. And when he came face to face with them in Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20, listen to what he said. "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to good." He said, "You guys wanted to hurt me, but God wanted to help me." Listen, it may be a bummer, the things of the past, the family things, the hatred, the alcohol, the substance abuse, those were evil things, but God can take those things and he can turn them into good somehow for the future. For the Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for the good to those who are the called according to his purpose, to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose." God says, whatever you've been through, as I have comforted, as I have helped you, I want you to go and comfort and help someone else. Now, every one of us in our lives have had experiences, sometimes that we could not even have avoided. Every one of us in our lives have made mistakes. Every one of us in our lives have sinned and grieved the heart of God. But wait a minute. God desires to use those trials. God desires to use those temptations so that we could become better servants for him. Perhaps for some of you this morning, that means saying, "Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask you to be my Savior. Lord, I believe you brought me to this point so that I would become one of your children. And I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I can't save myself." Perhaps for some of you this morning who are already walking with the Lord, it means saying, "Lord, I want to yield myself to serve you. Help me to recover from my hurts, my habits, my hang-ups, so that I can help someone else to recover from their troubles and from their trials in this life." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for this time to open the Bible. Thank you that we can honor mothers. Thank you that we can preach. But now, Lord, take this message and use it as an instrument of helps in every heart present.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying recovery together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that He intends you to live as His child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chappell with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.